Support for the DidCow podcast comes from DidCow.com with links to the DidCow t-shirt shop, Amazon, and Stamps.com. Many ways to enjoy the DidCow experience, plus the semi-regular blog, and of course, this podcast.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
Clank.
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us for week number 4 of the football picks here in the city. From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California, good to have you with us tonight on another good week of football coming up. Last weekend, I wouldn't necessarily make that claim about the football schedule. We had some good games, but there were a lot of blowouts, too. I felt like blowouts was the theme of the week for last week. But we'll hear from the panel tonight as we brace ourselves for the next guest picker. And once again, we'd like to thank our friend Mike in North Jersey for coming on for week number 3 picks. We have a new guest for you tonight. It's a big one. You will hear who it is in just a moment. But, you know, it's just a lot of fun doing the games. And, you know, we have a lot to cover tonight. So with all of the games on the table, with some huge conference matchups and rivalries renewed, all of it ready here for you. Let's hit it. Football picks, week 4. And we enjoy a wonderful week of football coming up. Last week was pretty good. As the picks go, there's no sugarcoating it. Man, we were bad. It was so bad that the best person of the week had only a 2-2 record, and that person was me, Dave in the City, with a 2-2 mark for week number 3. Also, coming in second place, Andy in Seattle was 1-2-1. John in Connecticut was 1-3. And Ron in New Jersey was also 1-3. For the guest picks, Mike in North Jersey did a pretty good job trying to uphold the good lead he had to start. He went 2-2. He swept his college picks. He didn't do so well in the pro picks, but who did? Everybody was doing terrible on the pro picks. The pro picks were 2-8. 2-8 last week from the NFL. So pretty bad. I also happened to sweep the college picks, so I'm happy for that. Still looking for that winning week, so we'll see if anything transpires with that. So let's now introduce our panel for week number 4. And beginning the week, let us begin by saying hello to our friend Andy in Seattle. Andy, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
Outrage at an 8, maybe up to a 10 once we recap last week. I feel like Loves if he's watching Game of Thrones and Kevin James shows up as a guest appearance. I feel like Fiddle when he's trying to debate Cy Young candidates and someone brings up win totals to bring up a support the argument. So we are spicy tonight.
I got you there, Andy. And also joining us on the program tonight, it's John in Connecticut. How's it going, John?
Doing well, Dave. I hope no one listens to this show and bets real money on our picks. In my case, I actually did bet real money in Las Vegas on Sunday, so we're still recovering from that adventure.
John, if I can take a time out to ask about the trip, were you doing okay at the tables this time around? How did the trip go?
Well, the college picks went quite well, actually, on Saturday. I had a number of tickets that won. Mm-hmm. Sunday, not as well with the NFL. Overall, though, I mean, you know how it is, Dave, in Vegas. You have a couple of good wins here and there, but like, what else are you going to do after you win? You're going to keep gambling.
Yeah.
So, we did not come home with more money than I left with, but I still came home with money, which is an important part. Had a good time, and so it was a good vacation. Got to play a little golf, so not all bad.
Now you got some golf too. That's great. Very good. So now let's introduce to the program back with us, Ron in New Jersey. Ron, how's it going tonight?
I'm good, Dave. I'm just happy that you still allow me on the program after
the horrendous start that I've gotten off to. So well, thank you very much.
No, I no problem. I mean, hey, look, if I ever did keep you from the program for that, I'd be a hypocrite because I have the same. I'm doing just as bad. I'm terrible. I don't have a winning week yet either. So, well, we'll see. I mean, we can rebound from this. You know, I'm thinking of a course correction at some point for all of us. So we will see. Very good. So now let's get to the guest picker. And this week I'm going to let's give you a little bit of hint as to who it is. Listen to this.
The dance. It's time for random questions. Good stuff. In the city with Kevin on the Cape.
That's right, friends. Kevin on the Cape's our guest picker. Kevin, happy wedding, happy nuptials to you. How are you, buddy? How's it going tonight?
Andy, Dave, Ron, and John. Wow, this is quite the Algonquin roundtable you've got going here tonight, Dave.
it's been a while, Kev. What's new with you, my friend?
Not much. Just living the dream, man.
I love it. You know, I heard the word that you got married over the I don't know what it was. Was it like last week or the week before? But either way, what a thrill!
Yeah, right? It must have been all over. Must have been all over the internet.
any particular highlights from the wedding you wish to share with us?
Hey, by internet, I'm referring to my sister's Facebook page, probably.
this is true.
yeah, it was terrific. Yeah, it was Labor Day weekend. Everything's perfect. Weather was nice. Everybody behaved. I resisted all my urges to completely tell everyone what to do and relax and have fun and. The bride looked gorgeous, and yeah, everything was it was terrific. There's absolutely nothing negative. It was all just great. My uncle did the ceremony, did a great job. My brother was the best man, made a great speech. So yeah, it was a good time had by all.
That's great. That's really great. And we really want to thank you also for taking the time to join us for the program. And here's the thing: I want to let everyone know that if you're not familiar with the show, if you haven't listened through all the years. Our friend Kevin on the Cape was pretty good at handicapping the point spreads back in the day. Like, he could predict a point spread with two teams. He still can. Like, he's pretty good at that stuff. So his ability to work the point spreads, pretty good. And I think I get a good feeling, and this is probably going to mush it, but I think he's going to bring it up.
he's gone now, Dave. Forget it.
Time ago. That was a long
yeah, no shot now. No shot. All right, guys, let's go ahead and recap last week's college action to begin the program. And as I was saying, a lot of blowouts. I mean, there were a couple games that that had so much buildup. The biggest example was Ohio State and Oklahoma, and that was a dud. I mean, Ohio State just shut them down. They blew them away. Even this was after a weather delay to start the game, but that didn't matter. I mean, Ohio State was right on target, and they won going away. So that's one of the ones that stuck out to me. You did have a few good games. Michigan State definitely embarrassed Notre Dame for a while, though Notre Dame tried to make it close and almost won, but it still wasn't enough. So that's basically the big ones that happened last week, and there are some others, too, that I'm sure our panel will cover. We'll start with Andy in Seattle. Let's take a look at last week's college action. What did you see from this weekend?
I'll try to be quick here. I'm going to just vent about my picks here. Baylor minus 31. They won by 28. They started slow, came on strong at the end. Last drive, they are moving down the field, and then they get to about the 5-yard line, and the coach, the old Virginia guy, decides to just run it into the line 4 straight times. And Mac Brown, who's watching the game, calling the game, said, "This is just incredible sportsmanship. Just he knows he doesn't want to score. He's friends with the Rice coach, so he just got super vanilla and just let them just run the ball into the line. It was atrocious. I was outraged, and now I'm outraged again. Bama, that was a crazy game. Someone else can talk about that, but I mean, if you had Bama minus 11, I mean, it was Lou Lang Lou. You needed Chad Kelly to do something stupid. Chad Kelly did something stupid, and then some crazy stuff with the onside recovery. That was a little bit of a heartbreaker. I want to kill the Oregon coach for a second here. I had Oregon getting three from Nebraska. The final score was a 3-point margin. Here's how smart Oregon. I know they go for two a lot. That's what they do. But they always go for it the first time, and then that's usually it. So they go for it the first time. Now it's 8. They go for it the second time. They don't get. Now you're at 14. At that point, when you're at 14, just fucking stop. You're at 14. Do not freaking go for two again unless you have to. They didn't have to. The Oregon coach goes for it 5 times. He fails at it 4 out of the 5 times. They lose by 3. That's just overthinking everything. And if you do that more times than not, you're going to get called out on it. This is a disgraceful draw by the Oregon coach. And, you know, they lost the game because of that. And then Notre Dame, I had Michigan State hypothetically, so that was nice. But September, and now it's over half. Now it's half over. But you know, back then, you know, it was half over, and Notre Dame entered the season as like this team that can go to playoffs, and they didn't even last week 3. We can put them to bed until November, when you'll have a bunch of clowns call up Francesa being like, I have a way to get Notre Dame into the national championship. They're going to need a lot of help, but they. They are just completely underwhelming. Now you have people saying Brian Kelly needs to rethink how he runs his program at Notre Dame. But the quarterback is going to get a lot of NFL hype. Wake me up when Ron Paulus actually did something. He never did.
Good stuff, Andy. Let's now go to John in Connecticut for his college football recap.
All right, Dave. Well, I have a quick little story. So obviously in Vegas on Saturday, I put together a 18 parlay card just for the hell of it. I'm sure you've seen them before. You got to fill in the numbers that correspond to the team to, you know, do your bet. And I did an 8-teamer, $10 to win $1,700. So I get my ticket. An hour later, I look at my ticket and I says, "Holy shit! I took USC by mistake. I meant to take Stanford. Obviously, I don't know why I would ever take USC. It's just because all the games were going on and I marked their number, the wrong number on the card." So I'm like, all right, well, there's no way I'm going to hit this anyway. Sure enough, the first 6 teams all win. So I'm like, oh, my God, if I end up, you know, having 7 out of 8 and the only loser being the one that I mistakenly wrote down, I'm pretty much going to kill myself. But sure enough, the last team that I had, San Jose State plus 12 or whatever it was, they lost by 17 to Utah. So I am so glad that they lost, and my only loser was not that USC mistake, or else I would have never.
Oh,
I might have still been there. I would have been there as a bum on one of the bridges crossing from the Bellagio to that casino. I could have never come home after that mistake. But regardless, as for the games on Saturday, I mean, really, you know, like you said, a lot of blowouts. The one game I did call correctly here on the show, Cal and Texas, you knew that was going to be a back-and-forth game. And what is it with all these kids running to the end zone? They drop the ball before the goal line. I mean, what the hell is going on? These coaches need to chew some ass, because that's just so embarrassing. And I don't know. I mean, thank God Mac Brown was watching that game. He might have had a heart attack on the air watching that kind of disrespect of the football. But I was very surprised by that Florida State-Louisville game. You know, is Louisville like a legit contender for the national title now? I mean, we shall see. They certainly look like it for 3 weeks, and Lamar Jackson looks unbelievable. But I think the jury is still out on them. We'll see. They get to play Clemson later on this year. That'll be another huge test to see if they're legit. And I believe they play Houston at the end of the year, so that could be a lot of fun. Say both teams are undefeated. I mean, that might be like a de facto playoff game. You know, you said about Oklahoma, it was a surprise. I think everyone here pretty much had Ohio State. You know, Oklahoma, again, was just overrated heading into the season. And, you know, they proved that once again. Other than that, I mean, really nothing groundbreaking to mention. That Wisconsin game was pretty interesting. They were like a 35-point favorite, and they only win by 6. Of course, I take them, like, bet against them last week when I think they're going to have a letdown and they blow out Akron. It was going to come this week when they played Georgia State and they only win by 6. But other than that, I mean, really nothing else to mention. It was kind of a ho-hum week. I guess the Louisville game was really the kind of, you know, hallmark game that you kind of have to mention when you're recapping this week.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot to mention that too, myself. I mean, that was an incredible performance by Louisville. And Lamar Jackson just looks amazing. And to do it against Florida State, that really does put them on the map if they weren't already on the map to begin with. And let's I tell you, Tommy was right on top of it from the beginning. He was the one who brought up Louisville when we were doing week one picks. And so far, he looks pretty good. By the way, that game against Clemson is next week. It's actually next week already, so that's pretty. It's going to be pretty interesting to watch. Yeah, that's. I look forward to previewing that next week too. So we will see. Now let's go to Ron in New Jersey for the recap of college football.
Well, Dave, let me give you an explanation of my Saturday last week. You know, obviously, I took Florida State on the show last week, and being as I'm so ice cold, Florida State, which looked like maybe a top two or three team in the country, loses by 40 to Louisville, just gets decimated. Lamar Jackson runs all over them. So that goes to show you how big of a funk I'm in. So that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And then for the next 6 hours of the day, I have to go to a five-year-old birthday party at an indoor amusement park. An indoor amusement park. Waiting on 2 hour lines to ride a fucking dopey train. Half the kids there have snots running down their faces. We finally get to eat at the end, and it's fucking cardboard pizza like you get in elementary school.
Oof.
So that's my 6 hours that I spend on a Saturday, and I expect, you know, I get home at night. Some college football, you know, you get Ohio State, Oklahoma, you Stanford, USC, Michigan State, Notre Dame. Three of the worst goddamn games you could ever come up with. I mean, Dave, I feel bad for you being a USC fan trying to get through that game. I mean, my God, USC is a complete mess now.
Yeah.
So that was my Saturday. You know, every single game I saw was basically a blowout. Notre Dame tried to get back into it at the end, and just not a good Saturday for me.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man. That then definitely those Saturdays can happen to us all. And gosh, USC, good Lord! And did you see the rumors that one of the players allegedly punched Clay Helton this week in practice? I mean, this is a giant pile of tires that is on fire. It's just ridiculous. It's so bad. God damn, it's crazy. All right, so let's swing it now to our friend Kevin on the Cape, aka the Junk Man. Were you privileged to watch any college football last weekend? What did you make of this week's games?
No, I haven't seen a college football game in probably 11 years. The only thing I'll add to my recap is that Ron Saturday really makes me sad.
Yeah.
That was a very sad Saturday. I hope he never has to go through that again. Five-year-old birthday party, all that other nonsense. You can't work all week, man, and then have to do that on your day off. That's just not right. I feel for you.
I've got another one coming up this week.
Oh, my goodness.
Almighty.
Yeah, that's
so. This is making me rethink the whole when should we have kids scenario. I don't think.
Yeah, you'll think long never and hard about that, right?
Yeah, this is scary stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, now I'm searching my apartment for my wedding band, even though my wife is not even here, traveling to Baltimore, because I'm afraid she knows that I'm not wearing it right now.
Oh, man. Good stuff. This is the Junk Man and being the Junk Man having him back. It's good times. Let's now look, then, as we move on from week number three. We go to week number four, college football action. And so we do have a couple of good showdowns. A lot of them are in the SEC, and I think the biggest game of the week, I mean, there are a couple of really big ones. One starts right away at 12 Eastern, Wisconsin, Michigan State. And I think what's interesting is that Michigan's having a pretty good start to the year, but I'm not sure exactly how good they are defensively yet because of the people who they played. But they look good. Wisconsin looks good as well. So we'll see about that one. And then the probably the one that gets all the hype, Florida, Tennessee. And a bunch of other games. We'll just go ahead and run it down the panel. Let us begin with our with our friend. Let's see. Let's go with John in Connecticut to start us off for the weekend previews in college football. Which games do you have on the radar?
Looks like an interesting week of games. You mentioned those SEC showdowns. I'll have one of those for my picks coming up. The Wisconsin-Michigan State game should be a pretty physical, low-scoring game. Probably lean towards Michigan State, giving the 6 points there if I had to choose. Let's see what else is going on. You have Stanford again in the 8 p.m. window against UCLA. That'll be an interesting game. Stanford's only a 3-point favorite. You have that Oklahoma State Baylor game, which should be pretty high scoring. Let me see if there's kind of an under the radar game that people should watch this week. Let me see here. Nothing really grabbing my eye, Dave. I think it's just those kind of top games. Oh, well, how about Florida State and South Florida? South Florida was one of my teams that I picked to win the American in their division this year, and they've looked really good so far. And, it'll be interesting to see how Florida State responds at South Florida. So that'll be pretty tricky. So we'll see how they bounce back after that big loss.
Good deal. I did just catch another game that could be interesting to watch, although I'm not really sure yet. It does happen to be a battle of ranked teams, Arkansas, Texas A&M. I don't know. Maybe we'll take a look at that, I guess. Arkansas had a big upset win of TCU, and A&M had a good start to the year with the win against UCLA. I'm not really sure. We'll see. So now let's go next to our friend Ron in New Jersey. Let's get a look at your games of the week. What's on your radar?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the consensus biggest game this week is Tennessee-Florida. To be honest with you, that game really doesn't do much for me. Florida is they're down to the backup quarterback. They're just not an exciting team to watch. For years we've talked about how overrated Tennessee is by the media. So, and they're not exactly a high-powered offense either. So that has the makings of a 17-14 type game. Outside of that, you got Auburn, LSU should be interesting. Still can't, make heads or tails of what LSU is. And Thursday night actually is tomorrow night's a pretty good game in Clemson and Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech. There's magic on Thursday nights in the ACC. Those home teams usually get up for those games, so it'll be interesting to see how Clemson responds. They've played down to their competition each game this year, and you put yourself in a tight situation on a Thursday night, and it could be upset city.
I was thinking, that's going to be an interesting one to look at. And, I have that game covered in picks. I'll let you know which way I lean. Let's go to Andy in Seattle now for his preview of this week's college football action.
Yeah, Benson called it the Georgia Tech Clemson game. That's like the quintessential Thursday night ACC game. Back in the day, late 90s, early 90s, early 2000s, you have one Thursday night game a week, and then now you got sometimes you have three of them, and it would always be ACC, and the Mount Rushmore Thursday night games was either Georgia Tech, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Just those three teams just rotating, the three-headed monster. Even Beamer last year was we loved our Thursday night games. And so I think you might see a little bit of a throwback tomorrow night. Justin Thomas is the quarterback for Georgia Tech. If it feels like he's been there forever, he kind of has. It's the same quarterback that was there 2 years ago when they beat Mississippi State in, I'm not sure if it was the Sugar Bowl, one of the BCS Bowls. And then last year they took a step back. But this year they haven't really played anybody great, but they are – they're 3-0, and this is a game I don't know what I'll do tomorrow, but it's a interesting game. Clemson has yet to really wake up. I don't count 59-0 against South Carolina State as a wake-up scenario because South Carolina State's not like a real football team. But the rest of the slate, I can't really get wrapped up in Florida, Tennessee. I really can't get wrapped up in Michigan State, Wisconsin. I'd probably lean Michigan State. I can't really get wrapped up in some of these SEC schools like Georgia is playing Ole Miss and LSU is playing Auburn and Texas A&M is playing Arkansas. I mean, I'll get into it, but you know, on Wednesday night in Seattle, I'm not like counting down for those three games. And I love the SEC, but I am looking forward to Arizona State Cal. That's the flashy clown car match up first to 63. We'll win that game. And then it's a true test for the UW Huskies, honky tonk clowns that just got the beneficiary of the hype machine. This will be their first test because, and Arizona's not really any good either. They let Hawaii hang around, but UW they got rid of their FCS schedule by, you know, beat powerhouses like Idaho and Portland State and Rutgers. Rutgers was a tough one, and now they finally had their first test on the road against Arizona. I don't think they beat Arizona in Arizona since we were in puberty. It's been a long time, so this will be a big test. And I think it's a 7 o'clock West Coast or 8 o'clock West Coast start. So it'll be a challenge. And they're giving 10. It's like, on what point? Why is UW giving 10 to anybody on the road? They haven't showed you anything. But I don't know. We shall see. I'm curious to see how they come out. And just get me to Saturday, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, get me to Saturday, too. It's been a long week at work for me, so I'm looking forward to all of these games. Kevin, any games that you're looking forward to for the weekend?
The only thing I look forward to every Saturday is going on the scoreboard at the end of the night and hoping that the score of the Notre Dame game has them losing, and it's humongously. Really, my only thing that I worry about, it's I go at night, check the Mets score, and hopefully the Notre Dame lost.
Nice. I like that. All right, let's then go to the picks, and let's begin with my picks. I'll give them to you very quickly, because obviously I'm not doing very well this season, so let's just get with it. Okay, pick number one, game number one. Tomorrow's game, Georgia Tech hosting Clemson on ESPN, and Andy broke this down brilliantly, and Ron also ran some of that down, of course, to set it up. Well, I'm going to go with the home team on this one. Georgia Tech plus 9.5 against Clemson. Everything that they've outlined pretty much ties into my reasoning for the pick. Love them here, but we'll see. I mean, it really could be the kind of game that could be close, or maybe they'll pull away and they'll win by 12 at the end anyway. It doesn't matter. But I really will have fun with this game. Either way, I'm going to enjoy it. It should be fun tomorrow night on ESPN. Game number two. This will be fun, but for all the wrong reasons. We're going to go Florida plus 6.5 against Tennessee. Here's the thing about this game that to watch for. Florida is riding an 11-game winning streak against Tennessee. Road, home, it doesn't matter. Now, the last few games were decided by 3 points or less. So, like last year's game was 28-27, 1 point. But, if anything's going to motivate the Gators, it is the cornerback Quincy Wilson, who says, "Nobody has ever seen a duck pull a truck. Florida Gators are going to win. Simple as that." Well, if that doesn't motivate the Gators, I don't know what does. So we're going to go Florida plus 6.5. And again, Georgia Tech plus 9.5. Week number four college picks. Well, that's it for me. Let's go ahead and go to Andy in Seattle, who is leading the contest. And it is now your pitch for the week four college picks.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Game number one, it looks too good to be true, but I don't care. And I'm going to take Utah Utes giving 3 to the USC Fighting Trojans. That's a Friday night game. You know, Utah is almost like Stanford 2.0. Their coach is well-disciplined. He expects all his players to make their beds like military scenario. Every corner must be sharp. You know, get your hair cut nice and trim. And don't beat yourselves. Be efficient. Don't be sloppy. Don't make mental mistakes. And right now, USC is the opposite. They're sloppy. They beat themselves. They make mistakes. They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. They don't like their coach. I don't know what they're doing on special teams. But they're just not all there. So it's just like one team is going in one direction. The other team is going another direction. You know, this Utah, it's not exciting. even 2 years ago when they had like that good running back and the good quarterback, I mean, they're very methodical, you know, very much like Stanford. And I just feel that, you know, USC, if they don't get it together this week, it's going to be a long season. And then we'll get to hear about which high-profile coach they can try to entertain. But I don't know. Something's going wrong in Los Angeles. And we'll see what happens. So give me Utah, game number one. Game number two, I am going to take the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers giving 7 to the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is a game where it might be a showcase for Jeff Brohm. He has that nice, prolific system. We saw it last year time and time again with their quarterback, Brandon Doughty. This year they came out guns blazing against a Rice team that can't stop anybody. They ran into a juggernaut by the name of the Alabama Crimson Tide Week 2. And then last week they didn't cover, but I don't really care. And this is a team that's playing a Vanderbilt team that in years past always had a good defense and was crappy in everything else. But this year, I think they're just crappy in everything. And I think if, you know, I don't know if Jeff Brohm is going to be like a Jim Herman or a Fuente or a Dino Barber, but he might be on that next level, you know, below those guys like P.J. Fleck. And he wants to probably use this game as a showcase. Like, I can beat an SEC school, and let's have a show about it. So game number two will be Western Kentucky giving the 7 to a basement-dwelling Vanderbilt team to coincide with Utah giving 3 against Utah giving 3 against USC on the Friday night contest.
Thanks for the picks, Andy, and good luck to those. We'll see what happens there. Honestly, at this point, I don't even give a shit whether USC wins the games or not. I mean, winning the games at this point will only prolong the clown show that is the Clay Helton era. So let's continue. Let's go on to John in Connecticut for the Week 4 picks. All yours, John.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Game one, we'll start off in the SEC, and I'm going to take Arkansas getting 5.5 against Texas A&M. And this game is actually being played at a neutral site. They play this game every year at Dallas Cowboys Stadium down there in Jerry World. I just felt like this was a very strange line. So you're telling me that A&M would be favored in Arkansas? I mean, A&M, I think, is just getting a lot of respect here. And what have they done this year? I mean, they had a nice win for UCLA, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a blowout. I mean, they let UCLA come back and tie the game and go into overtime. They beat an FCS school, I think, week two. And then last week, they have a nice road win at Auburn. Granted, I mean, anytime you win on the road in the SEC, it's nice. But, you know, Dustin Elizondo is pretty much a dead man walking at this point. I mean, I'm not as impressed as that win as I was maybe if it was 2 years ago. So that team is a mess. So I don't see – I mean, I figured this line would be like maybe a pick-em, maybe one or two either way. And you're getting 5.5, and Arkansas, their style of play is just, you know, that grinded out running game. You know, you mentioned earlier today they had that very impressive win at TCU a couple weeks back, and I just think this will be a really close game either way, and you're getting 5.5 points. So give me Arkansas plus 5.5 for game one. For game two, we'll go to one of our personal favorites this year. We are going to take Western Michigan -7 at home against Georgia Southern. Now, this would be a good game because Georgia Southern is one of the better teams in the Sun Belt Conference, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year. But Western Michigan, they just completely... They just crushed Illinois on Saturday in Illinois. I know that's, you know, it's not saying much. I mean, Illinois is a disaster, and I don't think Lovie Smith is long for the college game. But still, I mean, they're a MAC team going on the road, and they just destroyed Illinois. In addition to their win at Northwestern earlier in the season, I mean, they could pretty much play in the Big Ten at this point. And they really got their offense going. I mean, they got they're returning their players from last year, Zach Terrell, Jamari Bogan, Corey Davis, form a really great trio of offensive players. And I just think they're going to do their thing, and it'll just be too much for Georgia Southern at the end of the day. I know Georgia Southern is a solid team themselves, but I just really enjoy this Western Michigan team. Western Michigan team, and P.J. Fleck is going to be bound for a very big heyday and a big-time school after the end of the season if Western keeps playing like this. So we'll go Western Michigan -7 for game number two.
Thanks very much, John, and good luck to the picks once again. So now let's go to Ron in New Jersey for the week four picks as he readies himself for a weekend, and hopefully this weekend goes better this time around for you, buddy. Okay, all yours, Ron.
Well, Dave, I'm desperate. You know, I've had a pretty rough start. So desperate times call for desperate measures. So my first pick is Iowa, -14 on the road against the State University of New Jersey, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who fell behind 27 to Howard 2 weeks ago. Howard, which is one of the worst football programs in Division I AA, whatever the hell it's called now. And then they followed that up last week, falling behind 21-0 to a horrible New Mexico team. And, you know, they ended up winning both those games, but this was an Iowa team that's probably foaming at the mouth after losing to North Dakota State last week. So if they get off to a slow start, they're getting blown out. Either way, they're probably getting blown out. So I'm taking Iowa -14. And my second game, I am taking the Army Black Knights -14 over Buffalo. Our friend Mike in North Jersey turned us on to the Buffalo program last week. You know, we followed them on the program for the past few years when they had Sal Akata's brother as the quarterback for, you know, it seemed like 6-7 years he was there. He's gone. The team's in disarray. Mike picked against them last week. They played Albany and got crushed by Albany. So that just tells you what type of team Buffalo is. And Army's got a little bit of that, you know, that Cinderella mojo going this year. They're 3-0. They've had three pretty big blowouts. One of the kids on the team passed away in a car accident a couple weeks ago. It seems like they've rallied around that. So I'm taking Army and Iowa -14, both of them.
All right, great. Good luck to the picks, Ron, and thanks very much for the picks, for sending those in. Let's now go to our guest picker, Kevin on the Cape, who, as he mentioned, is ready to go with the college football picks. So, Kev, here you go with everything on the table. It's all yours for college football picks for week number four. I'll go ahead and take it away.
Well, I have more bad news for Ron. I'm sorry to say that this year-old birthday party is notwithstanding. I did some reading. I didn't want to come in here completely, you know, not prepared. I did some reading what's going on in the season, and I thought I found the lock. One that no one's going to pick, no one's even going to pay attention to. And then, so my first pick is going to screw Ron, but I'm also in love with the Army team. Maybe not so much in love with them as much as Buffalo is horrendous. Looked at a bunch of those games. They're pretty much probably the worst team in the country. Army's probably going to run for, I don't know, 450 yards. And what clinched it for me, Dave, mm-hmm. is Army has a guy on the team named Edgar Allan Poe. That's scary. It's really freaking scary. So not only do these guys have weapons, like they know how to shoot guns and blow up stuff, there's a guy named Edgar Allan Poe on their team. Awesome. I'm going with Army. They're going to win 41-7. It's not even be close. Plus, they're in Buffalo. Plus, they're in Buffalo in September, not December. They lucked out with the schedule. All right, moving on. Now, so I saw what happened last week. Louisville 63, Florida State 20. I thought that was not too crazy, considering Patino's defenses are always pretty strong this time of year. Shutting down 20 was pretty respectable. However, this week, I expect that entire back and forth, South Florida, Florida State, all the guys played high school from Miami to Gainesville and everywhere in between, hearing about this game. So I'm picking Florida State to just get all pissed off, liquored up, and destroy the guys that used to sit on the bench and carry their water in their helmets during all their high school games. And then everything will be back to normal, and they can crush South Florida, take back the state, and go back to raping and pillaging Tallahassee.
Now, what did you have for the point spread for that game, Junkman?
I think it said 3, but it doesn't matter.
I mean,
okay. I'll look it up at some point. So Florida, he's taking.
Yeah, I think it was -3. I don't know.
All right.
I'm sure Andy knows about the set.
No problem. We'll check on that for you. Thank you very much for the picks. You crushed that segment, Chuck, man. Very well, very well done. All right. So let's now get into the NFL, for which our friend Kevin on the Cape is also pretty familiar. And let's cover last week's action. We'll start once again with our friend. Who do we start with tonight on this? Let's see. Actually, let's go with John, because I'm sure he's going to have some stories from the sports book. So, John, let's get your recap of the NFL from last week.
Well, only one kind of story to mention. When you're there, you're obviously talking to people and whatever. So I met a nice guy from Missouri, and we watched the Chiefs go down in flames. I kind of felt bad for him as that happened. But as the 4 o'clock game started, this huge group of all Seahawks fans came in, and especially these two wild, drunk women. Oh, my God. I've never seen such annoying fans in my life. There was literally every single little play that happened, they would be screaming, "Yeah, woo, all right!" And it would literally be a fucking 3-yard out pass that was caught by, you know, Tyler Lockett or whoever. Even on a 5-yard offsides penalty, they're yelling like that the whole game. I never wanted to leave anywhere so much in my life, but I wanted to watch the game, so I was kind of screwed. But it was just absolutely miserable to combine that with, you know, my picks weren't going so well. Especially, I was feeling pretty good about the Colts selection, and then Andrew Luck just completely meltdown at the end of the game with those horrible turnovers. Oh, my God. That was just ridiculous. And then my Packers, there is something wrong with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't know. You know, I thought before the season, all right, you know, Jordy's going to come back. It's going to open up the offense. You know, Lacy's slimmed down. We're going to get back to the Packers of 2014 again, and there's just not something wrong with him. I mean, he's missing open guys. The decision-making is not there. Two turnovers on the final two drives the other night when, you know, they easily could have gone down and tied or gone ahead to win the game. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I mean, he certainly has all the ability to turn this around, but I read a crazy stat that he hasn't had a game with a passer rating over 100 in like 12 or 14 straight games.
Wow.
Just unbelievable for someone like Aaron Rodgers. And honestly, I'm pretty sure I'm the jinx of all this, because this all started when I went to the game at Lambeau Field last year and they won to get to 6-0. And ever since then, it's just been an absolute disaster with their offense. So I don't know what to make of the Packers. Hopefully they can turn things around and get the season on the right track, especially for their offense. Because their defense looks good. For the first time in years, I'm very pleased with how their defense looks. So they have some good young talent, but we'll see what happens there. A couple other quick notes. The Chicago Bears might be the worst team in the NFL. How bad are they? Oh, my God. Not even competitive on their home field against the Eagles with a rookie quarterback. And then the Panthers, they almost blew the cover, letting Blaine Gabbert throw all over the field. I mean, their defense is not as on par as what they were last year, for sure. And then Kirk Cousins throwing that interception up 23-20, going in on the goal line, and they end up losing to the Cowboys. That's just a brutal loss. Those are kind of quick hitter thoughts on week number 2.
All right. Thanks for the recap, John. Now, I'm very excited to bring Ron in for his recap, because you know what? Remember last week, Ron challenged the Jets. He challenged the Jets to rise to the occasion and beat the Bills. And they did it. It was getting a little dicey for a while with those 14 points in like, what, 8 seconds or whatever that was in the third quarter. But at the end of the day, the Jets came through for Ron in New Jersey. And while all that was going on, the Red Sox made a monster comeback on the Yankees in the ninth inning. It scored like 5 runs, and Hanley Ramirez had the game-winning home run to deep center field. Big night of sports for Ron last week. So, Ron, your thoughts about that wonderful Thursday night and the rest of NFL for week number 2.
That was the best night of sports for me, and God knows how long, Dave. And that just goes to show you how sad it is that, you know, I have to get pumped up over a Jets win over a horrible Buffalo Bills team. I think the time of possession was like 50-10, something like that, and they still only win by 6. But Ryan Fitzpatrick had the game of his life. You'll never see that again. But, you know, it was definitely satisfying. The other games I had on my radar last week. The other local game here, the Giants and the Saints, which, yeah, I got to give credit to the Giants. You know, whoever bet the over on that game is probably pissed off because it was 52, and, you know, they definitely scored less than that. The Giants kept turning the ball over the first half, but, you know, tie game, under a minute left, and Giants get it to the 1 yard line, and, you know, you're thinking to yourself, they're, you know, probably going to run a play. Saints will let them score. Saints will probably come back and tie it, and then you don't know what's going to happen. And the legend in the making, Ben McAdoo, decides to call three kneel downs, which was very surprising to me. But I like the play calls to set up the field goal at the end. Giants win 2-0. I'm all in on the Giants, Dave. I mean, they're unstoppable. If you're thinking about a 16-0 team, it's the New York Giants.
Dave, I just got two words, man. Choo-choo, right?
Man, choo-choo. Gary Sanchez is still hitting home runs. Yankees are still in it. Choo-choo. Fucking bullshit.
I'm not going to say anything as far as the Yankees' playoff chances. I don't want to reverse mush that. Let's just leave it alone.
Yeah. The way I'm going, I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
But the only other...
That's pretty funny. Okay.
The only other thing I got to mention is that Rams-Seahawks game, which I lost Ben on the Seahawks. And I should have known better. The Rams already played them tough. But the one thing I got out of that game was I flipped it on at the end, and I saw Jeff Fisher running up and down the sidelines, pumping his fist. And I didn't even know the score of the game. And I look, and it's 9-3. I mean, is there a more Jeff Fisher fucking scene than seeing him pump his fist, jump in the air because his team won 9-3? Good Lord, what a god awful team! What a god awful coach! God bless you guys over in California. It's gonna be a long, long year, Dave.
That Coliseum is gonna be just a terrible, terrible place for football for a while. But USC on Saturdays, the Rams on Sundays, is just going to be ugly. Oh, man. Okay, so let's go to Andy in Seattle for his NFL recap.
Yeah, well, bear with me here. We'll probably be all over the place. But this, what started well ended disastrous, and it spilled over into this week. But... you know, when you lose 12 bets in a row, that's what happens. But it started, everything was nice on Thursday. We piggybacked on, you know, I think, you know, Ron called it and John had it as a family bet with the Jets. And we spoiled Rex's mini Super Bowl. And I was like, here we go. And then the first wave of games on Sunday came and went. And we had a nice 3-2 session. You know, Binks on the Saints, Bink on the Steelers, Bink on the Titans. And speaking of the Titans, you know, the Lions, and a familiar theme with week two, the more things change, the more things stay the same. And Caldwell got tight. Caldwell channeled his inner Jeff Schwartz. I mean, the Lions must have committed like at least 15 penalties. I thought those penalties were supposed to leave when they fired Schwartz. Bring in Caldwell, they're doing the same thing. And Mariota at some point will probably be pretty good, but yeah, and I took Tennessee, but I was like, there's no way Tennessee should have come back from that game, but they did, you know, because the Lions just couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, there was that one sequence where, you know, they had first and goal, and they had like two touchdowns called back on the penalties, and one of them, Efron, the tight end, he did his whole dance while the ref threw the flag behind him. It was like this, you know, I know Mike gets cranky when they do dancing, but, I mean, it was like that dancing giant from 2 years ago when there's a bunch of laundry behind him and he's doing the Macarena for 45 seconds. Right. Like, come on now. So, you know, kudos to the Titans for pulling that off. And then when and then obviously, you know, the Giants were the unlucky bank. But then the 1 o'clock West Coast game started, and – then the Jaguars you know, the Jaguars plus three, getting their ass kicked to San Diego. Then on Monday, you're like, you just took Blake Bortles. How many games has Blake Bortles won in his career on the road? The answer was one. One.
Wow.
So good choice in hindsight. Then you take Tampa getting seven against Arizona. You know, Arizona probably was pissed off after getting embarrassed the week before in New England. Good job there. Then you take the Raiders. That game bothered me because if I had to do it all over again, I'd still take the Raiders because I think the Falcons are a bunch of frauds. But Del Rio made some questionable coaching decisions late in the game, you know, going for it when he probably could have taken the 3 points. And I don't know what happened. The Raiders defense, you know, for all their accolades they're getting on offense with Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and a rejuvenated Crabtree. Maybe Crabtree, one of the guys.
Crabtree.
Their defense is a sieve, and that needs to improve. The Seahawks, I know Jeff Fisher always saves his best games for the Seahawks, but the Seahawks line is a mess. I mean, if you have no offensive line, it doesn't matter who you have, a running back, wide receiver, or quarterback. Or the greatest plays in the world, they're not going to work if the line can't give the skill position guys at least 3 seconds to execute. So they had no execution. You know, the Seahawks defense has actually been pretty good the first two games in the year, but they're stressing out. You can't have this defense on the field all the time with that little room for error because their offense cannot get going with just this offensive line they have. So that's going to be an issue. They're going to have to figure it out by, when their schedule starts to get tough. And then now we've lost five games in the late session. I was like, I know it's a trap, but I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers over Chad fucking Bradford. And we did, and John already illustrated what happened. McCarthy made a weird decision to go for it down three when the field goal would have tied the game and I think it was the third quarter. I don't know what that was about. And then Rodgers loafed it. At that point, before the loaf, I'm like, they're going to tie the game, and, you know, your Sunday night will be saved. You won't want to kill yourself Monday morning. No, Monday morning wanted to kill ourselves. And I was like, I'm going to take the Bears because I'm not ready to take Carson Wentz on the road. We take the Bears. Everyone saw what happened there. We take the Mariners, and we took the Mariners on Tuesday. We take the Dodgers on Tuesday. We take the Blue Jays on Wednesday. We take over on the Sox game on Wednesday, and that's 12. And finally, the Yankees won a game, so we are on the road to redemption. But yeah, just a ugly week two. But I think there's 16 more weeks in the NFL, so we can bounce back. But just a I know all those teams are trendy, too. The Jags, the Raiders, the Tampa Bay, and the Colts. And fuck Andrew Luck. John already said it, but I'll say it again. Fuck Andrew Luck because the Broncos were gifted 14 points because he's just chucking and fucking and loafing with no respect for the pigskin. And that was an embarrassment. That's all.
Andrew Luck has been really disappointed. And the Colts are now 0-2. They're going to play San Diego this week. And if they lose to the Chargers, and the Chargers often play very well against the Colts, they've had their number in recent years, they're going to be 0-3. But, you know, we'll see how surprising that is. We'll see what happens as the week goes along. Let's go to Kevin on the Cape for the NFL recap. Any games that stood out to you?
I happened to watch the Giant game from beginning to end when I figured out how to steal my new father-in-law's cable password and put it on my computer and watch nice. On the TV at home. That was awesome. Because as I don't have cable in the house. But I was able to do that one. Now, I mean, we're family now, so I mean, we got to share everything. And I watched some of the other stuff and some highlights, and listening to these guys the last, 10 minutes about what stands out to me mostly is how crappy all these teams are. There's no in that round the horn thing you just did, I don't think I heard any ringing endorsement of any team. It was all it's sort of what I observed over the weekend. I mean, there's a bunch of really shitty football teams, and the Giants just happen to be a little less shittier than they were last year, so they've been able to pull out that close game. But the Saints are horrendous.
Yeah.
So much garbage out there. And, of course, the best player in football is suspended for 4 games, and his team's still undefeated. So that's my observation.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Brady. Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, they're down to their number two quarterback. That was Jimmy Garoppolo. He was playing pretty well. And then he got hurt, and now he's missing a game, maybe two games. And now
he might play tomorrow. It's game day decision.
Oh, really?
They changed it up.
Stay tuned. All right, we'll see about that one. In that case, they're playing the Houston Texans tomorrow on Thursday night. The only other game I wanted to take to really just roll out here, Denver-Cincinnati. I think that'll be a battle of two very good defenses. And then the Steelers and the Eagles, just because there's that Pennsylvania rivalry. And I will have that in picks, so I'll tell you more about that one a little later. Let's now go to the picks. So let's begin. Oh, I guess I'm going to do it right here. This is my pick, so let's go and get with it. Here we go. We'll be very quick. I don't want to take too much time here. We're running out of time. So game number one. You know, I have to, you know, it's a good point made about the Panthers. Their defense is not as good as it was last year. But be that as it may, they do play very well at home, and the Vikings are struggling with injuries. I mean, we had a terrible injury to Adrian Peterson, tore his meniscus on the Sunday Night Football game against the Green Bay Packers, and I believe he is out for the year. I understand he's getting the surgery, so that's it. At least he's not playing this week, that we know. So Panthers are healthier, so I will side with them and lay the points. Panthers -7. Game number two. Again, we refer to the all-Pennsylvania rivalry. The Steelers against the Eagles in Philadelphia. So, yeah, a lot of hype now for Carson Wentz. And I'll tell you what happened. You know, the Steelers were a 6.5-point favorite, like, just, like, 4 days ago. After the Monday Night Football game, now it's like a 3.5-point game. So, a lot of hype for Carson Wentz. But you know what? Despite all the hype, I had the game when it was 6.5, so I'm going to go Eagles getting the points, believe it or not. Now, really, the only argument I have is a couple things. I love it when the home team gets a lot of points in the NFL. And the Steelers still haven't won a game in Philadelphia since 1965. That's weird, right? But the last meeting between the two teams was in Philadelphia was 2008. So that doesn't really mean anything. So to be perfectly honest, that stat doesn't really apply here. But I'll still take the points. So again, Panthers -7, Eagles +6.5. Week three NFL picks. And that's all I've got. So let's go ahead and go to Andy in Seattle for week three in the NFL. Andy, it's all yours when you're ready.
Nice reverse match on the Steelers. I do like the Steelers. That's the Nance and Sims game on Sunday, but that'll be a good one. Game number one here. And we're going to take New England getting one from Houston. We're going to break it down as if it's going to be Jacoby Brissett, because that's what the line is, +1 with Brissett. But, and I know it's Brissett, like, it's easier to say Brissett. So today, though, on lunch hour, I'm watching, you know, ESPN at the restaurant, and they're saying now Garoppolo is going to be a game-time decision. But the line is +1 based on Brissett. So we're going to take Pats getting one against a Houston team that I never really liked. I know I'm kind of like Mike. You know, J.J. Watt, what has he won? Nothing. But they love him down there. They love that defense. I think it's an overrated defense. It's a bully defense. The offense doesn't really, you know, get too excited. Now, if Clowney is Clowney, and so far this year, like, and all through training camp and preseason, you've heard how great Clowney's been. If Clowney is the Clowney that he was at South Carolina, then we got something to talk about. And they play in a shitty division. So, yes, they might be in the playoffs in January by default because someone has to win the AFC South. But I am not, you know, super worried about them as a subjective Homer, pom-pom, New England Mongo tomorrow night at Foxborough. And so here's what happened against Miami. You know, Garoppolo's rocking and rolling. He's chucking it all over the place. He's 18 for 27 in the second quarter. They're up 24-0 when he gets hurt. And then when that happens, you know,
Bill would like shut it down, run the ball, blount. Now, if you watch the second half, you're going to notice Tannehill was 21 for 22, something crazy like that. And the Patriots got carved up, but they weren't making it. It was a lot of dink and dunk. You know, half of it, yes, Tannehill made some good plays, thrown into some medium sized windows, but half of it was also window dressing. And take this with a grain of salt, but part of me is like, Belichick is going to just let Tannehill have his fun, eat up some clock while they score. He wasn't in jeopardy of really losing the game. Houston can go gaga on this film, like, look, Brock, look at all these windows that Tannehill has. And then Belichick will have a completely different scheme for Brock tomorrow night. Now, the question, if it's brisket tomorrow, they're going to have to open it up a little bit. I mean, he had no time to do anything on last Sunday. He wasn't expected to play. Hopefully, within the past 3 days, Bill channeled his SP and Brisket channeled his RKO, and they had 3 days of soaking knowledge and free education and just had this little package, where he could just have some nice pass plays to Hogan and Edelman, and it was going to be a heavy dose of blunt, but you know, they can't have Brisket just, you know, hand off on first and second down and have a rinky-dinky play on third down. They're going to have to mix it up a bit. So I'm not saying he's going to have free reign to audible like Brady and Garoppolo, but they are going to have some sort of medium package to keep Houston honest, because that defense is good, and it is their strength. So they're going to have to make sure he, you know, take the training wheels off a little bit. And I think they will, because I'm the pom-pom waving Patriot Mongo. So game number one, I'm taking the Pats. Now, I lost this sheet of paper that had all the games that I was thinking of. So now I'm scrambling here. And I was thinking about taking Arizona against Buffalo, but that seems like a trap. It's only 4. So I'm gonna take the Giants, giving 4.5 to the Skins. I'm already regretting it just talking about it now, but I was so fucking angry at Kirk Cousins on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday morning out here. And John already mentioned it. You know, you're up 23-20. You're at the red zone. The game is essentially over. The only way you can lose that game is if you do something stupid. And he did something stupid. And before that, in the red zone, in the first half, he was literally throwing ground balls to his receivers that were wide open, underthrowing them. Just, I mean, you could have your, you know, if you're left-handed, throw right-handed, you'd have a better chance of accuracy than Cousins. Just a total joke. And I know the Giants have a lot of corners, and they're not going to be, they will sniff that out on Sunday if he tries to pull that shit. You know, this Giants defense is totally different with the absence of fuel. And, you know, McAdoo is an expert on all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. But all kidding aside, Cousins is a clown. I had a feeling they'd be exposed this year. The real Kirk Cousins is showing up. Someone has to win the NFC East last year. And this year, listen, for all the ribbon we give the Giants, they have amazing receivers. And I know Washington got that guy from Carolina, but it's a totally different scheme. Carolina used him as, like, you know, in a nickel and a dime package. And he's not like a one-on-one guy. So if you're expecting him to shut – he's not a shutdown corner, if I'm trying to say. So if you're expecting him to shut down ODB, that's not what he's going to do. So the Lions 4.5, I think Eli – is going, you know, nothing, no interceptions. If they do have an interception, it won't be his fault. They're going to play pitch and catch all day because, you know, the Redskins made Dak Prescott look pretty good. And in week one, Dak Prescott couldn't really throw the ball on anybody. And I just think it's going to be a blowout when all said and done. And you're going to hear a lot of, you know, Giants magic for the next few days, because they'll be 3-0. So game number two, give me the Giants giving 4.5 to Washington.
All right, Andy, thanks for the picks. So in total, I think you have 4 home teams in this for your picks. Interesting stuff. So now let's go to John in Connecticut. And when you are ready to go, let's have your week 3 NFL picks.
All right, Dave, my first pick, I think, is our first head-to-head game of the year.
Ooh.
And I obviously, you know, I don't want the Vikings to do well as a Packers fan, but this line kind of jumped out at me, getting a touchdown in Carolina. You know, Sam Bradford, we criticized the trade, but he looked pretty good on Sunday night. I mean, he had a really great rapport with the receiver, Stephon Diggs. I think he looked pretty well handling the offense. And honestly, even with Peterson in there, I mean, their running game has done virtually nothing for 2 weeks. So, you know, I don't want to say it's not a bad thing that Peterson, they lost to Adrian Peterson, but I don't think it's going to have as big of an effect as people might think, because Bradford had such a good game. And like I mentioned earlier, I mean, Blaine Gabbert was having tons of success throwing the ball all over the field. That one touchdown to that tight end that was like running down the sidelines was pretty embarrassing. So I like the Minnesota defense. I think they're pretty stout, and I just think this will be a pretty close game. Two solid teams, two division winners from last year. I know Carolina has been very well at home, like you said, Dave, the last 2 years. I think they've averaged like 35 or 40 points at home.
Wow.
I saw that stat somewhere. But I just think this will be a close game. I think it'll be like a, you know, a 28-24 type game. I don't think Minnesota will win, but I definitely could see them staying within the number here. I think it's a little bit too much. So give me the Vikings plus 7 for game number one. In game two, I debated here again before the Cardinals. I think that'll probably be on Sunday afternoon, but we'll stay away there. I debated the Dolphins over the hapless Browns as well. I don't know if he's playing on offense for the Browns this week. It's just a complete dumpster fire. But we'll take one of the more higher-profile games here, and we're going to take the Bengals -3 at home against the Broncos. Now, the Broncos have just been stifling teams at home the first 2 weeks of the season. Everyone's feeling great. You know, they're going to be Super Bowl champs again. Well, let's see Trevor Siemian play a game on the road before we finally, you know, anoint the Broncos. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Their defense is amazing, and I'm sure they'll give Andy Dalton a ton of trouble. I just don't see, you know, I think this will be tough for Siemian and that offense to go into a very hostile environment. The Bengals have been traditionally a really good home team lately the last couple of years, and I just think that they're going to bounce back here after that tough loss against Pittsburgh and get a win. I mean, it's not like Siemian played amazing the first 2 weeks. I mean, he managed the game and, you know, made enough plays to win, but it was really their defense getting a whole shitload of turnovers and their running game, and I don't think they're going to be able to rely on those kind of turnovers this week. And I think Cincinnati, you're only laying a field goal. I think at worst there'll be a push, and maybe they win this game like 20-14 or something like that. So give me the Bengals -3 for game number two.
All right. Thank you very much for the picks, John, and good luck to the picks as we go along. Yeah, head-to-head. We got a head-to-head this week, so this will be fun to watch. I'll check out that game with you, and we'll see how it goes. So now let's go to Ron in New Jersey, and my friend Ron, let's do it. Week number 3 NFL picks. All yours.
Well, let me start off, Dave, by saying that I, too, am tempted by the Cardinals -4 on the road against the Bills. It could be a high school football team on the road against the Bills, and I'd still probably pick them, but I'll stay away from that game. First game I'm taking is, I know John didn't want to pick it, but I will. I'll take the Miami Dolphins -9.5 at home against the Browns. It's the Dolphins' home opener. You know, the coach, their new coach hasn't looked bad. And the Browns are, for some godforsaken reason, starting Cody Kessler, quarterback.
Oh, that's a bad move.
Yeah, that's a terrible
move.
It's
going to end very badly for them.
Jeez. And Corey Coleman broke his hand today. He's out for at least a month or something like that. So I don't know who's, like John said, I don't know who's playing offense for the Browns, but give me the Dolphins -9.5 at home. And the second game, I'm going to take the Buccaneers actually at home -5 against the LA Rams. I know it goes against conventional wisdom because Jeff Fisher is 8-1 in his lifetime against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have lost, I think, like 5 or 6 home openers in a row, but this is a different season. And I think the Rams are due for a letdown after last week's Super Bowl for them. And you know, like I said before, last week was their
You know, it really was their Super Bowl, the home opener in L.A., and they managed to score 9 points. So give me the Buccaneers -5 at home.
Great. Thanks for the picks, Ron, and I'm really rooting for you to have a nice – well, no, see – that's the problem. If I start rooting
come
for people...
Come on, Dave.
I know. Sorry. I'm so sorry. All right, let's go.
Jesus.
Oh, man. All right, let's go to Kevin on the Cape now and get your week 3 NFL picks whenever you're ready, Kev.
More bad news for Ron. I'm taking the Dolphins as well.
You know, the two married guys on here have the same line of thinking. It's a scary thought. There's a 5-year-old birthday party in your future, junk man.
Oh yeah, multiple, many. I think the Browns are complete poop. I don't think they're going to score a touchdown offensively. My only fear is that dope Tannehill is going to throw a pick the other way, and my 13-0 lock cover is going to be a 13-7 final. I'm going to throw my little notepad at the computer or something. But the Browns are terrible. And my next one, my second one, is the Chargers at the Colts. As Andy so eloquently put his thoughts about Andrew Luck, I'll just leave it at that. And I think Philip Rivers will get the best of that sort of quarterback duo. I think he's actually kind of underrated. He's off to a pretty good start, so I'm going to take the Chargers. I think they're getting 3 in Indianapolis.
Yep, 3 points. All right, thanks for the picks, Kevin. Very, very, very nicely put. Yeah, these are some fun picks this week. Sorry. So we'll see how everything goes, and now let's just go turn around to the table for final thoughts, and then we'll log off tonight. So we will begin. Let's start with Andy in Seattle. Any final thoughts as we head into week 3 of the NFL, week 4 of college?
No, I mean, I'm in baseball mode here and there. I'm in NFL mode. I just hope the tide can turn a little bit on Sunday. 72 hours from now, I'm excited for the Red Sox. Hopefully they can continue waving the pom-poms, and I hope tomorrow is a good show for the Clemson Georgia Tech game. So good luck with that, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to this game. This will be really great. I mean, just like you said, it's a nice nod to the Thursday games of the past. So.
You're gonna have a Vince Scully show within the next couple of weeks.
You mean just to commemorate his career? Yeah. I mean, he's got a few more games left, and absolutely, we have to do a little tribute to our friend Vince Scully. I mean, he is just the greatest. I really have no other way to put it. So.
Yeah, I think someone should check on Fiddle on October 3rd when he's no longer doing games.
That guy's gonna need a hug then. Yeah, you're right about that. Good point. All right, so let's go to. I can't wait. So the last October 2nd, the final game for Vince Scully. Interesting point. I about that time we're gonna end up doing 2 shows that week. So yeah, that'll naturally fit into the week. So the first show will be our baseball preview show for the postseason, and that'll be a separate program. So we won't do it like back to back here in one show. We'll do 2 shows, and then we'll do our football picks for the next show on that particular Wednesday. So stay tuned for that, everybody. Okay, so now let's go to John in Connecticut. Final thoughts for the week.
Dave, I will say that Monday night game between the Falcons and the Saints will be the lowest rated Monday night football game in history. And if you don't know why, you haven't been following anything in the news, and good for you, because the first presidential debate is on Monday night.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, I love the NFL, but to see whether or not Trump is going to call Clinton a bitch on national TV, I mean, you got to watch that. I mean, come on.
You're right. That's going to be what everyone's watching. There's no question. So we'll see. Okay, Ron in New Jersey.
Yeah, I have nothing really to add except for, I hope that the Jets win and prolong the season a little bit longer. And I'm anxious to see tomorrow night how the Patriots will probably start. David Ortiz at quarterback, and they'll probably end up beating the Texans 27-7, something like that, can't go wrong there. So, yeah, that's about it. And, yeah, I'm like Andy. I'm in baseball mode. I'm, you know, excited about the Red Sox. So, hope it keeps going.
Yeah, it's an exciting playoff race in both leagues this year. Yesterday there was a three-way tie in the NL wildcard, and in the AL wildcard, it's a pretty good race, too. And the Mariners trying to get some kind of magic together. They finally got the win today, as Andy mentioned earlier in the program. So, pretty good stuff. Okay. Go ahead.
Not to harp on our buddy Phil, but do you think he slept at all last night, going over all the tiebreaker scenarios?
Definitely not. I love Fiddle too, but he tweets like 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You know he's in baseball mode. I cracked up when he posted the tweet of like the FanGraphs wins, and it was like 86.8, 87.1, 86.2. It's like, well, why can't you just say 86, 86, and 87? What? There's 10 games left. It's like, it's crazy. But God bless him.
Well, we love him, absolutely. Good times. Okay, let's go to Kevin on the Cape. Final thoughts tonight. And Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. It really was good to hear from you again. So what do you have on your mind for the final thoughts?
The Mets got swept by the Braves. That's all I have.
Did they really? Holy shit. Yeah. That's no good. That is no good. That stinks. Okay.
As most of the other guys, I'm still in baseball mode, so that's all I got.
Alrighty. Yeah, and I'm in baseball mode too. Let's be fair. I'm in baseball mode. I've got this Dodger game on. It's been exciting. I mean, we had the Giants get on top early, but then in the bottom of the same inning, 5 runs scored on Matt Moore by the Dodgers offense. So now what's the score right now? Let me take a look. 6-2.
Yeah. 6-2.
Yeah. The Dodgers, getting that much closer to the division. We'll see if they can finish the deal. And, I mean, all odds say they will. So we'll see how it goes, if they can get one step closer tonight. Guys, that's all the time I've got, too. So, everybody, thank you very much for coming on tonight. Have a great time, and good luck to all the picks.
All right. Thanks,
Dave. Nice to talk to everyone.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, good luck, everybody. That's it for the program, and very, very nice to have all of you here listening with us. So good to have everyone back. Kevin on the Cape was great to us. Good to have him. Thanks again. Hope to have him again as the contest rolls on. We'll give you another guest picker next week, and you can check all of our picks again at didcow.com, and we'll see how all the games go. It'll be a good weekend. Have a good weekend. Enjoy all the sports. We'll see you next time.